Friends, don't worry about this heavy load I carry. Don't be concerned if it sends me to my knees. For I know a place where all my load will lighten, and I'll be all right soon as I'm at Calvary. If my feeble hands of faith could only reach out through this dark and dreary storm of unbelief. If you slip, if there's a hand into my hand, I'll be all right. Soon as I touch Calvary, very soon now I'll reach the hill Golgotha. I'll touch the cross that was fashioned from a tree. And if one precious drop of his blood touches me, I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. If my people
sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us where we can't carry on. Raised in his power, though we become strong, his strength is perfect. We can only know the power that he holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins where ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry of bruise again. His strength is perfect when I our strength is gone. He'll carry us where we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong.
They teach you don't use the wrong tool for something. You know, if you need a hammer, don't pick up a pair of pliers and try to use pliers for a hammer. And I know I see some smiles because I know we've all done that. But
I was, here's these professional guys in there putting this stuff in, and this one fella's using a pair of pliers for a hammer or something. I don't remember what it was exactly, but anyway.
But you know, God's provided what we need.
Yeah.
And, you know, He's appropriated all the different things that we need. And so we just want to make sure that we reach out and take what He's laying there for us. You know, when a doctor's in there and he's ready to do surgery, if I understand it correctly, someone has laid out all the tools that he needs. And it's all right there at his fingertips for him to take and use as he needs it. And I think that if man can devise a plan that would work in an operating room like that, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is much better than that, and He's given us what we need. So we want to use that today, and so we know we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and so we just want to take our part this morning in the kingdom of heaven, do our part today, and draw all of our strength from Him. Like I said at the beginning of service, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of every one of them. And so it doesn't mean you're not going to have fights. It doesn't mean you're not going to have days where it just looks like Satan's got the upper hand on you. But Satan never has won a battle. He never has. And he never will. And so that means that he'll never beat you as long as you trust in the Lord. And so you have days that are dark, but Jesus Christ is the light among in all of those days. It's like the scripture said in the valley of the shadow of death. Well, did you know in order for there to be a shadow, there has to be light to make that shadow?
Right.
You see what I mean? And so we just thank the Lord for providing those truths for us, and thank Him for this service opportunity this morning. We appreciate you coming out and all the obstacles of trying to get you to stay home, but God, I believe, will honor you, and I believe that by your faith coming out to serve Him and to seek after Him, that that it wouldn't really matter who stood up here behind the pulpit today, God would speak to bless you, to honor your faith. And so we know that He is your shepherd. He takes care of you. And I'm just happy to yield my voice and my body to Him, to use it to speak to you today. And so we thank you for this opportunity. God bless you. Let's open our Bibles. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. This is Attributes of the Original Sin, part 2. Started part 1 last week. Attributes of the Original Sin. And today's subtitle is The Battle Over Expression. Amen. The Battle Over Expression. Isaiah chapter 14. Saints, every day, as day after day, week after week, I find out it's just more and more, it's more blessed to live and be a Christian, to know the Lord. As this world gets so dark, He becomes more and more precious to us. Isaiah chapter 14, let's begin reading at verse 12. This is speaking of your enemy and God's enemy. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Notice he has a throne. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, and opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we bow hearts to you now. We've read thy word, Lord. And Lord, we realize that there's more just in what we read, Lord, we could probably even talk about and could even be brought out in one full day of speaking. But Lord, the portion of this Scripture today that belongs to us for this day, that's meat in due season, we ask God that you would deliver that to us this morning. Lord, that we as your people, though we have an attribute of your life within us, Lord, in ourselves, in this world, we're weak. We look to you to bring strength to us, Lord, to take that seed that's within us and make it grow, make it come alive. And so we ask God today that would take place, Lord, by the feeding of thy word to your sheep. Ask God that you come now, bless your people, we move ourselves out of the way, and just allow you to come and be the one to open the word today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. I mean, it's glad for victory. Amen. You know, you are his victory. Did you know that when he walked up Calvary and paid for the price of sin, that if there wasn't anybody to save, he would have no victory.
Right.
That's right. But because he won that, and because there is beneficiaries to what he won, then he has victory, and you are that victory. Amen. And so this morning we want to just be, receiving all the benefits of God this morning was like needing to get wet. Let's just don't stick our hands out of the faucet. Let's go jump in the swimming pool. Let's go jump in all the way above, just above our head in the promises of God this morning and accept them to cleanse us and to give us strength, give us what we need for this battle that we're in now. And so I'm glad that God's truth is certain. You know, you hear the news, you hear things, and you don't know what to believe. That's the way I feel about it. You don't know what to believe. It doesn't make a bit of difference what newscast it is or who you're hearing it from, whatever, you know. You don't know what to believe, and everything's so shaky. But God's Word, it's not shaky. It is certain. And so I know that's what we believe, and I know that's what we feed upon. I pray that that's what we feed upon. And so in starting this series, Attribute of the Original Sin, I had mentioned this some time ago, and you know, God works through, He gives people a vision. And I don't mean like seeing something like Brother Branham did, but He gives somebody a vision. He gives them a direction, and they see something that needs to take place. They see the benefits of what that would be, and they see where they need to go from where they are now to where they need to be. In starting this little series, I'm not doing this because I want to be like somebody else that has had series in the past, other ministers or whatever. I'm doing it because it's a large topic and there's a lot to cover in it. But I see so many things in there that I think that will do us all some good. It will help us to find out how to fight our battles. When I wake up tomorrow, when you wake up tomorrow, I want you to understand that when Satan comes at you tomorrow, I want you to look at what he's doing, and I want you to understand with intelligence, God's intelligence, why he's doing what he's doing, why he's approaching you the way he's approaching you and fighting you the way he's fighting you. And every one of you will have just a little bit different aspect of how Satan attacks you, but I want you to understand, I want you to see him coming and recognize him and say, you know what? I know what he's fixing to do. I know exactly his tactic that he's going to try. I understand the nature of his battle toward me, and I understand what he's trying to accomplish. I understand why that the things he does today, he uses those because they're so effective, and he wants that to work upon me. So I want you to understand those things. And so I got the title as far as Attributes of the Original Sin. I couldn't come up with any better title. I don't know, but because everything we see and all that's going on outside of Christ, all of these tactics, all of these ways, it's all to bring attributes of the original sin. What Satan caused in the garden, he wants to cause today in your life. The fall that took place there, he wants that fall to perpetuate in your life day after day after day after day. And the way he gets those things to happen in your life day after day is by getting you to fall for the deception that was placed there in the garden. And so I want you to come to understand that. I believe God has given us this revelation. We call it this message. It's the same gospel message. It was all along, but God has given us what he has in this day that we might come to that understanding, that we might come to a revelation, because revelation is overcoming power. I heard a brother say this one time, and it's true. He said, a minister of the gospel, and I'll go ahead and say it, just Christian believers also, we're more important than the President of the United States. President of the United States is considered to be the most powerful man in the world, I guess, outside of the Pope. And yet, you and I as believers, we have the ability, we have revelation. God has given us revelation. And to have revelation is to have understanding of what's really going on. And it equips us with the power, the ability to overcome when the rest of the world can't overcome. So Mr. President can't overcome. He can't overcome sin, the flesh, the devil. He can't overcome. Neither can the Pope, because he don't have the Holy Ghost. You see, and so the world can't overcome, and though they may have great sums of money, they may have great positions, and their name flies across the television screen every day, but they don't have overcoming power. They don't have revelation. So you and I, we have a higher calling, we have a higher position than Mr. President does. And so nothing, you know, evil against him. It's just that the believer will be here millions of years after Mr. President is gone.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And so we that's the kind of people that God's people are, because God has made them that way. And so I want you to understand why Satan does the things he does. And what I want you to do is I want you to see how these things tie. There's a string directly from what Satan's trying to get you to submit to today. There's a string tying directly from that right back to the garden. And this is attributes of that original sin.
Right.
And he wants to keep it happening day after day after day in your life. And as long as he does that, then the fall that happened then will continue to reign in your life. And that's why that come to me. And so it will cover just about every aspect of life through this series, if the Lord will permit me to continue on with it. And so whenever you feed on the Word of God, whenever ministry comes and you hear something, as I said, it gives you overcoming power, but there should be an element of liberation to you, to liberate you from the battle that you're in. To liberate you from the world and the things that you're fighting, there should always be the presence of some liberating power in the Word of God as it comes to you, because that's what it's here for. That's what it's to do. And so, attributes of the original sin. We read the scriptures here about Satan and his desire to become like God. And I will have to rehearse. There were some that weren't here last week, and so some of what I went over last week was part of this, so I'll rehearse some of it today, and then we'll go on further with it, and it'll probably be the pattern that we do throughout all this. But last week I mentioned how that the book of Genesis is the seed chapter, seed book, I mean. And so everything that was planted, everything that you fight with, everything that's going on today is harvest time of what was planted back there. So, you know, and you've heard Brother Branham say, well, that's the two books of the Bible that Satan hates the most. And there's actually countries that have banned, if I understand correctly, have banned the preaching out of the Bible from Genesis and from Revelation. But Satan hates those two books most because if you look out in the field and you see what's growing, you know that was planted at some point way back when. Or if you look at what's being planted, you know there's going to be a harvest.
Right.
So one is, looking at one is just as good as the other, right? But if you're standing out here and you don't know why is there tares in the field? I don't understand this. Well, light can come to what this is today if we go back and find out what happened in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so Jesus used that phrase, which I'll probably use many times through this series, from the beginning it was not so. And so listen, if the scriptures, or if the message tells us that the spoken word is the original seed. There was something God planted way back, and it was God's program, and it was original. It was not perverted. And then a perversion came off of that. And what I'm trying to say just in this, not to get in a rabbit trail, but that is to say this, that until we get back to the original, it's still some sort of perversion. And until we get back to the original, there will always be an attribute of that perversion dominating and taking control or causing a problem in daily life until we get back to that. And so if we want to know what's going on out here, go back to the seed and see what was planted. And if we want to see what things should be today, as far as God's economy is concerned, go back to what was planted there before it was. And so from the beginning, when Jesus said from the beginning it's not so, then he's illustrating there when in the scriptures where that happened, was that, you know, we could have an idea about something like that, and man might come along and try to justify something by the Word of God. But he said that we go all the way back here to the beginning, because until we get back to the beginning, there's still perversion. So we go all the way back to the beginning. And back there, what was established, that's the truth of what the matter is. Not anything after that. And so Jesus had mentioned that in the scriptures there when they challenged him about marriage and divorce. And he said, well, from the beginning it wasn't so. So Genesis is the book of the Bible that tells us, pretty much tells us, every spirit and every tactic that Satan will ever use. We'll find it right there in the book of Genesis. And we see it coming to fruit in in entire kingdoms at the end in the book of Revelation. And so we're going to focus a lot on back at the beginning, because that's where the original sin took place. And so we find in the scriptures here that Satan said, I will ascend. I will rise up. I'll be like the Most High God. We understand from the message that Brother M tells us that the word God means an object of worship. So if there's nothing to worship God, then he wasn't really God. He had in him the attributes and the ability to be God, but until someone was worshiping him, he wasn't God. And so he said that the first thing that God created was angels. And you might say, well, how could he say that? Well, the Bible says it. If you look at the timeline the Bible puts out, we find out before earth and all those things were, there was a heavenly host of angels. And so he made angels first, and the angels worshipped him. We know that from the scriptures. And so once he made the angels, then he became God. Not just in attribute form, that he had the ability, but he actually became God, because now he had subjects who were worshiping him. And so they worshiped him in heaven. And like I said recently, was that God would prefer to have a people that would worship him by choice, and not just simply because they were made, and just like the angels were, they were made, and that's all they knew to do. And so that's what we see. But you find out that God created angels first, and there was a great kingdom. And Brother Branham brings it out and says it's the kingdom of Michael. And that's what he referred to it as. And so you'll find out that as we rehearsed them last week, talking about God's expression, God always has someone to express him. Even though you may not see him in this room today, someone in this room is here to express God today. And so when God made the angels, and they were there to worship, and there was a great kingdom there, I can only assume it's something like what we would see down here, a great kingdom. There was a worship, there was music, there was a tabernacle, there was all these things in heaven, and so the angels were there, and God came down, according to the message, the way I understand it, God came down into the midst of those angels and took his place among them in the form of Michael. And so, Brother Branham, there's actually places where Brother Branham said Michael was Christ. Michael, which is Christ. So the man that walked up and down the shores of Galilee, we know from scriptures, before he ever became that child in the manger, that he existed prior to that in a form. And so Brother Ram tells us that in that place where the angels were, and where all this was going on, that Christ was in the form of Michael among the angels there. And so you find out that what I'm trying to show you here is that as there was a great kingdom there, and there was a great order there, and things were going on a certain way there, that God had representation among those angels. The angels weren't God, but God had representation among them. And God could be God just like he is to us, and yet still have representation among us in some form. You understand? So God was there, but God had a form in heaven in the presence of the angels, and he was in leadership among the angels. And you see, so there was a great thing taking place there. And so the scriptures we see here where Satan, Lucifer at that time, he rose up and he said, you know what? I'm going to rise up and I'm going to be like the Most High God. So he was jealous. He had a desire to be like God, to receive the worship that God was receiving, to do those kind of things. So I'm going to read a quote, what Brother Branham had to say out of this in Christ the Mystery. Brother Branham said, notice Lucifer in the last days is doing as he did at first. What did Lucifer do? The first thing that Lucifer had done was separate the fellowship of God and man. He wanted to build him a united kingdom or greater of greater splendor and seemingly more cultured, a greater kingdom than Michael, Christ, had. You got that now? Now, if you miss it, just hold up your hand and I'll say it again. You see, Lucifer at the beginning, his purpose in heart was to achieve a brighter and greater thing in heaven than Christ had. Is that right? By seemingly, he uses the word seemingly, a more cultured, more beautiful, more splendor than the kingdom of Christ. And so you understand what he's saying there was that Satan got the idea that he could form this situation in heaven where things, worship and all that sort of thing was going on with God and the angels. Well, Satan had a desire in that. Satan had a desire to rise up and to become like God, to have the congregation to worship him, the congregation of heaven to worship him. And the scripture said, well, you know, Lucifer, and he was beautiful. I don't understand. It's hard to wrap your head around, but said he was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. In my canary brain thinking, I would think, well, if he was perfect, then he couldn't have iniquity that would be found in him at some point. But you can have to stay with us what the scriptures say, and I'm sure God can open our understanding to where we see really why that says it that way. But he was very beautiful, and he was featured in beauty, and he was involved in music and in singing and all that sort of thing. And he desired to have a position of worship, that angels would worship him. And so we find out because of that, Satan was kicked out. Satan was kicked out of heaven. And so we also find in the scriptures that even though he was kicked out of heaven, that he was also allowed into heaven for some time. Because we find in the scriptures where it said that in Job, that when the sons of God, there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, that Satan also came. You find out that in the scriptures when God needed someone to fulfill the word of God spoken by Elijah pertaining to Ahab, that, you know, there was a great meeting in heaven, and the prophet saw it, that it was there. A meeting in heaven, and this lying spirit, God said, who will make come to pass this word that was spoken? And a spirit raised up, and it was a lying spirit. Now I want you to catch something here. That spirit's job was to be a liar. That spirit's job was not to be adultery. Spirits have jobs. That spirit rose up, and the scripture said, a lying spirit. And he said, I'll go down and I will be a lie in the mouth of all them prophets that Ahab is listening to. They're all prophesying good things and smooth things and all that sort of thing. That spirit said, I'll go and I'll be a lie in the mouth of those prophets. And God said, go and you shall succeed. How many remembers that in the scriptures? So spirits have jobs. But the point I'm getting at is that evil spirit was allowed to come there. Satan came before that. But we find out it came before the throne of God like that. But we also find out in the book of Revelation that there is a casting out where Satan is cast out of heaven, where he's no longer allowed to go up in the presence of God. And Brother Branham said this, that when the bride goes up, Satan comes down. And the scripture said there in that book of Revelation where it speaks of that, I think it's chapter 12, the scripture said that when he is cast out like that, he comes with great wrath because he knows he has a short while. So this is different than just him being kicked out of heaven way back when or whatever so that he can't be like what he was. This is different than being able to still go back up there with Job or go back in any other form. Because in this case, he's totally, completely cast out. And that condition, being the first time that it's happened, brings great anger and wrath upon him because he knows he's got a short while. So he knows that his time is coming. He knows that God is going to where his end is going to be. Just like the demons, whenever Jesus came to the one that was demon-possessed, and they spoke out and said, have you come to torment us before the time? And what the scripture said? So they know. They know that the time has come. And so Satan realizes when this bride finally goes up, that same act that takes her up is causing him to come down. That's the way I'm understanding it. That same thing that takes place because when that it's like a teeter-totter. When the bride goes up, he has to go down. So he has all this time, he's had some power, some ability throughout all those ages that he loses at that point. He loses right then at that point, and so he realizes, hey, I'm done for. And so he comes down and he has great wrath, same wrath he's had all along, same resentment he's had all along, but it's multiplied because he's getting frantic. And so he goes through the earth, and the only ones left at that point, because the bride has gone in rapture, the only ones left is the foolish virgin and the 144,000. So they receive the brunt of his anger and his wrath at that point. Okay? And so we find out that Satan was kicked out of heaven because he said, I will, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. And the scripture said, look, you're going to come to an end. We just read it. It's also, you'll see it in Ezekiel chapter 28. He comes to such an end that his death, his destruction, and the judgment that comes upon him exceeds anything that anybody else has ever seen. Because the scripture said, look, all these other people, they can even lie in their grave. They can sit there in their grave, but not you. You're even cast out of that. So you see, the scriptures had declared what's going to come upon him. And so he was kicked out. Now, in rehearsing from last week a little bit, we talked about how that God, Brother Ram said it this way, and so I don't mind saying it, but when God was creating all the universe and all the animals and all that, God was reflecting himself in that creation. And God was taking time from the first day, the second day, and third, all the way up through that you read in the 6 days of creation there. God was taking his time, and it looked like that he was evolving. It looked like evolution. So Brother Branham used the word like evolution. And it looked like that God was learning. Well, he made the little bitty amoebas or something like that. He made the fish in the water or whatever. And maybe in the process of doing that, he got better at it. He said, I think I can make animals on land. That's what it looked like. That's not the way it really was, see. But that's what it looked like. And when he made animals, then it looked like he could make, birds. And then he could make one thing after another. And so it looked like God was learning. It looked like God was evolving. But Brother Ren said God knew it all along, and that was just his way of expressing and bringing it to that point. Because really this gospel, what he was doing there was telling you and I the story of redemption. And so he tells us that. And so he first made angels. And we talked about that, how God took his place among the angels as Michael. Then God came and he created heaven and earth. He created the solar system, and which is just mind-boggling to me, the distance and the space that's out there and all the things that are there. It's mind-boggling to me. But God created all that. And the scripture said he could take heaven and just fold it up like somebody would fold up a garment. He could do that. That's how easy it is for him. But he made heavens and the earth, and he made all the stars and the moon and the planets and all those things. Put them in their place, put them in their cycles, put them in their positions, so in the earth to move, so that all those things would move, and all that would be a Bible in the heavens. We find that to be the case. And matter of fact, it's absolutely astounding. If you know what those signs and symbols are, it's astounding what all that means. Mercury is a messenger. That somebody way back when figured all this stuff out, So God doesn't tell us to look at the stars to be our Bible, but we know it's reflected that way. But you'll find out that even when Brother Branham passed off the scene, the Mercury setting in the west, going off the scene, a messenger going off the scene, you'll find all kinds of things. And in a certain sign of the zodiac, all that stuff means something. We don't know how to interpret, nor has God told us to use that as our guide. Some people do, but you shouldn't. But you find out when he made that, he was reflecting himself on all that. The scriptures even said that it declares God. And so God was reflecting himself in there. And, we need the sun because without it there's darkness. And the moon is representative. That's the church who shines in the absence of the sun. So see, God was reflecting himself in that. But God didn't really, and I'm saying this as a quote from Brother Branham, that God could have chose the moon and the stars and all those things to preach the gospel. And they do in their form. But to continue the quote, Brother Branham says, But God didn't call for them to preach the gospel. He called man to do it. Man was to preach it. So it tells you that even though the sun and the moon and the stars and all the planets and everything, even though they preach the gospel, there's a limit to how much they can preach. And he did not commit to them that full preaching of the gospel, but only in partiality did he commit that to them. And so we find out that he creates earth, and he separated land from sea, so he created land and sea, and God reflects himself in there. How that he was, he's the rock. And the scriptures talk about how that if a man builds his house upon a rock, it'll stand in the storm, and if he builds it upon sand, well, he'll have a great loss because of that. And waters in the scriptures is peoples. You see where Satan cast out of his mouth a great flood to go out and persecute the woman. That's a flood of humanity, of society, of what they're going to go out to do to bring persecution upon the foolish virgin and the 144,000. That's a flood. And it's Satan's movement of humanities and how that the movement of humanity can erode and destroy and how it just tries to permeate everything, get inside everything. That's the way it works. But the scriptures talk about there's a rock, and the rock of is solid, and you can build upon that. And no matter what happens out here in the flood of humanity, no matter how it is when Satan cast out his floods and those things to try and harm us, because we are built upon the Word of God, so the Scriptures, because of that, well, the flood won't hurt us. So the Scriptures shows us that God is reflected in just earth. The Scriptures talk about how that the doctrine of the Catholic Church, and the harlot church, that how it comes out of the bottomless pit, has no foundation. So you see those things reflected there. God is reflected in that. And so God made the birds, and God reflected himself in the birds. He made himself, reflecting himself as an eagle, and not as a buzzard, not as a crow, but as an eagle. When he wanted to show himself in strength in the heavens, to show himself as a conqueror in the heavens, he likens himself as an eagle because they are supreme. But he also wanted to show himself on the meek side. And in heaven, he wanted to represent himself in the heavens above. I'm talking about this earthly heaven. In the bird kingdom, he represents himself as the dove. He wants us to know that there's characteristics about him that's a great conqueror. There's also characteristics about him that can be led, that's timid. And so he represents himself as the dove in there. And so he moved on up into animals, represented himself in the animals on the earth, in animals as a lion and as a lamb, to show himself as he did in heaven as a conqueror and also as one who's gentle. In the earth, he represented himself the same way as a lion, the great conqueror. He also showed himself as a lamb, very timid, very has to be led. And what he's showing us there is all these characteristics and attributes about himself of overcoming and also being led. The lamb has to be led. And so all those things represent God in those things. And it looked like it was evolving. But what happened there, God knew all along, and he was just expressing himself through a plan, and he was bringing it to something. And so we find out that the last thing that he made on the last day of creation, the sixth day, before he rested, you'll find out that he made man. He also made the animals, I believe, that day. But when he got to that point, throughout all the days, he would say, it's good, it's good, it's good. But on that day, he said, it's very good. And you'll find out that God did not create any more after that, as far as creation of humanity. God didn't go any further than that, because when he reached man, he reached the place he wanted in to reflect him. And so, like I said a little while ago, so that the stars and the moon, they could preach the gospel and they could represent God, but only in a limited capacity. He did not commit to them the fullness of his expression as he was bringing it to, nor did he the animals, the birds, the lion, the ox, and all that, nor did he there. But he kept working and kept building into his image until he made man. And so you find out from that man is in the image of God, and not something else. And it's that image that he said, now this is very good. This is what I'm looking for. I don't need to build any more and go any greater because I've reached what in my mind I want on my earth. So as he took his presence among the angels in the form of Michael there to represent and to conduct things in heaven, he comes to this earth and he represents himself in partiality and builds until he brings a full attribute of himself, and that's called man. And he said, now that's it. I don't need to go any higher. I'm taking my place in this dimension in man. He's my image. He's my representation. Yeah. I'm not talking about fallen man. I'm talking about what it was before. Right. And so there he is. He's my representation. You know, I heard Brother Bam say, That in the scriptures where Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. I want to see you. And God said, well, nobody can look on my face and live. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pass by and I'll cover your eyes. And after I pass by, I will let you see my hinder parts or my backside, my behind me as I walk past. And so we read in the scriptures, that's what happened. And so he puts him in the cleft of the rock and the Lord passes by. And while he's passing by, God is introducing himself. He says, behold, the Lord is full of mercy and all those sorts of things. And so he passes by, moves the covering off of Moses' eyes, and Moses looks at him. And Brother Branham is talking about this, and I remember the first time that I heard this, and Brother Branham said, he looked at him and he saw him and said he was a man. And I said to myself, Brother Branham, how can you say that? The scripture don't say it's a man. How can you say it's a man? It said he passed by, but you're saying he looked like a man. You know, it was a man. And so, it wasn't a struggle, but I thought, well, I don't know. You know, I know that he could see a vision of it or whatever. And so I kind of, for some reason, maybe just so I could share this with you today. So I went along for quite some time like that. And one day it just dawned on me. And it's kind of stupid. You know, sometimes we get hung up on something. We can get hung up on something and become very dogmatic because we don't see something and it's really simple and we should see it and for some reason we're not. And after a while we'll see it and go, I feel like an idiot. Well, this is kind of like that. But you have to be honest. So I'm just going to tell you about it. So I said, how can he say that? It doesn't say he's a man. If it is, I'm missing it somewhere. And so it just dawned on me one day, and I'll say it by this. If I held up a blob, how many knows what a blob is? If I just held up a blob and I showed you, say, now, which side is the front, which side is the back? You wouldn't know. Because you're not familiar with blobs, right? But if I stood a man up and I showed you him, you could tell me what's front and his front side. You could tell me what is his back side. And so I realized real quick, he could tell it was the backside because God looked like a man because man is created in the image of God. Right. So when we see him, we don't expect to see a cloud or something like that. We expect to see someone who looks like us because we're made in his image. Right. It's pretty simple, huh? But you'd be surprised how many months I went with that thinking, well, I don't understand that. But it's simple. Because we're made in the image of God. And so God didn't go any higher because he said, that's it. Man is my expression. I don't need to go any higher because, and I want to say it like this, God would be thinking this, what I have in my mind that can be the potential, that has the potential of being my perfect expression on this earth, it's not the fish, it's not the birds, it's not the beast, but it's man. And I don't have to go any higher than that. I've reached the place, and therefore my creation is finished. That's my subject. And so God took his place among earth in his sons and daughters of God. That was the plan. God was going to take his place here, and he did, in his people, in his children. And so God was pleased with that. And so you find out that's what Satan attacks. Now the title of this is a battle over expression. Because God's desire was to come down, have that man that was created in his image, someone who had all the potentials, all the qualities, all the abilities about them to represent God on this earth. And God was going to be in that family and he was going to express himself. That was going to be the expression of God. God had an expression in heaven, and Satan wanted that expression. Satan wanted to battle that expression and take that away from God. Instead of watching the angels worship and seeing them worship God, and you could see God expressed in their worship because they're worshiping Him, Satan wanted that congregation to worship Him. Right. So that they became an expression of Him.
Right.
Showing their adoration to Him. You see, that's what took place. And the quote said, Brother Ram said, Satan in the last days is doing the same thing he did at the beginning. He did it up there, he did it in the garden, and the attribute of that same thing is happening day after day, week after week, and it's here with us today.
Right.
The ability for Satan to cause the same thing to happen as he did then, that's his desire now.
Thank God.
And so, we find out there that that's what Satan attacks. Satan doesn't really go out and try and destroy the fish each day. He doesn't go out and try and destroy the animals, the beasts, or the birds each day. That's not where Satan gets up in the morning. He's like, what can I do today to destroy the kingdom of God? He doesn't go to those to do it because they, in very limited capacity, express God. But God's full expression is in man, and therefore that's where Satan's hitting it.
Right.
Satan struck out Lucifer right against the kingdom of Michael. And everything he stood for, and every angel that was in that kingdom, and all that, that's what he struck against. And so when Satan seeks out something, he's going to seek out that which represents God.
And
it's God's expression. That's where he'll head to. So the potential of representing God in that fashion, time goes fast. The potential of man, the potential of representing God, it was not in those progressions of the animals and all that, but it was in man alone. And it's that, because that's where God put all his put all that dominion, what Adam and the family of God was to be. They were to represent God on this earth, so he was God on earth, Adam was. He was to be in dominion. He was to be in control. He had the attributes of God working through him. And that's where God put it, in Adam. And Adam had control of all these things. And he had control of the earth. And when man fell, everything that man had dominion and control over and that was committed to him fell with him. Does that make sense? So when man fell in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell, the whole creation fell with them. It's not the planets, it's not the moon, so to speak, it's not the stars, the constellations. They're not backslid. All of that is exactly still in the order that God made it to begin with. Mars, Jupiter, all those are in their order. But there's one planet that's no longer in the order that God made it at first. And that's Earth. And that's because it tilted on its axis. And I realize you're going to say, but I don't know about this. I know Brother Ram said these things. And I've been down this road myself. And I'm not just taking it at just face value, because I'm the kind of person, I need to understand by revelation why Brother Ram said what he did. And that's just the way I'm made. But I can see avenues. You don't have to find something that just flat out says the earth tilted on its axis because of a nuclear explosion. You don't have to find something like that in science to necessarily say it, or in the Bible to necessarily say it. But you can see 2 + 2 + 2, and you can come to a math formula and come to the answer without actually going right straight to it. You understand what I'm saying? And so when I look at this, there's one planet. One planet that was in God, in Adam's control, the earth. And because Adam fell, this planet fell, and it started something that was taking place right then, and it's still with us today, is the decay and the destruction of this planet. And why is it decaying? It's the effect of man. It's our science, it's everything that we make, all the billions of tons or millions of tons of plastic floating in the ocean that's causing troubles for ships now to travel, especially all that stuff that come off the shore in that earthquake over there in China or in Japan. It's all decaying of what was given to man. If the fall had never happened in the garden, we wouldn't have smog. We wouldn't have a lot of these sicknesses that we have right now if man had not fallen. But because it was committed to man, that was his domain, and it's still his domain, except Satan's running it. And so it's still decaying because man still has that as his domain, and Satan's over it now. But all of that is an effect of what took place there. And so it's not the stars and all that. They didn't tilt on their axis. They didn't move out of their orbits, but the earth did. And so we might not find where it says, well, an atomic explosion, but Brother Branham was letting us know, and I can see it in this concept, this planet, everything that has brought this away from the beginning, until we get back to that, until this earth goes back to that, something's happened. Why did it happen? God didn't do it. It's an effect of man. And so that's why a prophet could say, well, because the only thing man knows of or would have had that could have done it would be an atomic explosion of some sort. But the point is the earth is now tilted on its axis. It's not in its original condition of what it was because of man. Because he fell, and the effects of his fall is destroying and has made every perversion that's out there. It's expressed through that because it's not part of the original. That makes sense. It's not part of the original. And so... that's the thing that has fallen, is the thing that was committed, man, and what was committed to his domain, that's what has fallen. So let's look at the difference, just a few differences, and I'm getting real close to finishing here. I might get done in just around an hour if I just keep moving. Let's look at the difference between man and all those animals, the birds, the fish, the beast, because God committed to man this ability to be his attribute, his expression in earth, to actually be his very family, his very gene. He committed that to them and not the animals. So let's look at the difference between them, because God is different and his family is different. And so the animals don't have a soul, but we do. Now we're in God's image and they're not. They're just kind of slightly leaning in that direction, but we are the image of God. They don't have a soul, but we do have a soul. So apparently, that speaks of God. That what is it about us that enables us to be that image that they couldn't be? Right? I want you to focus on the attributes about us that makes us different than the rest of creation. The rest of it. And so, they didn't have a soul, but we do have a soul. So apparently, that's one of the things that makes a difference. And so, and I can't tell you that I'm going to tell you all the things, but I'm just pointing out a few of them now. They were not given dominion of this dimension, but we were. Man was given dominion of this dimension, and yet the animals were not. The animals and the birds and that sort of thing, they were to reproduce. God commanded for that to happen also among them, but they were to reproduce through a physical act of that would bring reproduction. Man wasn't given that. Man was not given that prior to the fall. His way of reproducing was not to come from a physical act. So there's a difference. So apparently God is somewhat similar to that. See what I'm saying? Apparently God can reproduce and not have to do it in some physical act. God can have a family and reproduce his family without that. But he didn't commit spoken word to the animals. He didn't permit that. They had to go through a lesser form because they're lesser. But in this form that's not lesser, it was not committed to go some physical act. It was to be an act that spoke of God and spoke of his attributes and his abilities. And so you find out that even in the fall, with the animals for coming together for reproduction, there's a season for it. And that's all. It's not just all the time. There's a season for that to happen, for animals, for creation only. But you'll find not so in man. See, there's differences. And so you'll find that out. And so you see, the animals were not great designers. They're not engineers. They're not creators. I know that a bird can build a nest. But you know, a bird doesn't invent a new nest. He doesn't build a nest and say, you know, next year I'm going to build it out of a different kind of sticks than I did this year because I think it'll be better. Birds don't do that. The squirrel, I heard J.D. Shepherd say this years ago, and I believe him telling where it come from, but he said, you know, the squirrel still runs up the tree the same way today as he did before the fall. You see what I'm saying? Where did Satan go to when he came? He came to man. Why? Because man is where the most potential is to represent God, and that's where God chose it. That's where God said, I'm finished. That's it. That's my expression right there. That's where Satan goes to fight and battle over that expression. And so, animals aren't great designers and engineers. They don't build great things, and they can't figure out devices and things like that, and they don't come up with plans how to make things better for them next year. They just live day after day. God takes care of them, as the scripture says it. But man has the ability to do that. Man can reason. He can think. He can come up with a plan to do a better job tomorrow than he did today. That kind of thing. So we have those attributes in us that animals don't have. And so that's one thing that really aggravates me, and maybe it shouldn't, and I don't really mean severely aggravate, but just slightly, is when I see people attribute to animals the attributes of humans. You can look at a little animal and something will happen to it, and we automatically feel for that animal with human emotions of what a human would feel like if they had experienced what that animal just experienced. But that animal doesn't experience it that way. You see what I'm saying? Animals are different. You can kick your dog and he might be shy of you for a couple of minutes at the most, and after that it's over with. And he'll never remember it again, so to speak. Because, you know what I'm saying? Humans aren't that way. So there's a lot of differences. And that's the one thing. We are separate. We are different than animals. But out there in the world, their system, what they teach, what they propagate out there constantly is trying to make you think that animals somehow have their place up here with man. That man, that they possess some qualities that belongs to man, but they're not the ones that are in dominion. Man is, and there's a difference between man and animal because we are that image of God, not them. And that's why we're over it. And we have a soul, we have a conscience, we have reasoning, we have abilities they don't have. Because we're like God. Now, take a people like that. Take a people that's given control, given dominion over this earth. Who have ability to reason. They have a conscience. They can figure things out. They're creators. They can devise plans. Take a people like that and make them fall, and what do you get? Think about it. They have the most potential. Make them fall, and what do you get in that fall from that superior species? Superior to all the rest of the earth. What do you get? Brother Branham said this, and it's true. God made man made slaves. You take people, they can be designers, they can be creators, they can create good atmospheres in their homes, and they can set up things that propagate life and bring life to people. They have the ability to do that above all animals. And yet cause them to fall, and we in that fall, do they propagate life? Do they always work to embetter somebody else, or do they start trying to embetter themselves? You see what I'm saying? And so, take a people that's got all that ability, look what happens when they fall. Give to them a flesh act for reproduction rather than spoken word. Give that to them without seasons, not just for reproduction, but for something else. Give that to them. Give them, they've got dominion and all that, but give them all those things, but without the character to control it, what are you going to get? Because having power and authority without character is satanic. It's demonic. It's satanic. This speaks of the very attribute of Satan. So one thing I've come to realize in my life is that every person has to have somebody that they are in leadership, that is their leadership above them. everybody. You say, well, in the church here, we got deacons, we got the pastor, we got all that, but did you know your pastor has to have somebody he has to answer to? And you say, well, you answer to the people, but I mean even beyond that. Every person has to have somebody that is over them that they have to answer to. It's like me at work, where I don't have necessarily slips. We have if they're throwing something away at work and you want to bring it home, you'd like to have it. Well, you're not supposed to just take it. You see, they have a slip called a property removal slip, and that's where when a person wants something to do it right, they need to go to someone above them and have that person sign that paper and on the date and everything, saying, this is what I'm giving them permission to remove. Well, listen, I don't have to. All I have to do is go to my boss or the guys that work for me. All they have to do is get permission. We don't have to go all the way to the CEO of the company. They just have to make one step, and that's to their immediate supervisor or their boss. And when he signs that paper, they can go with that with whatever it is they want, and it's legal. Well, what do you say? If I could say to my guys, okay, here, you can have that capacitor or whatever it is. And then I go, you know, I'd like to have one of them. And I just go get it and stick it in my pocket and go. I just broke the rules. I have to answer to someone with that. So the proper thing, even though I can give permission for a day off, I can't take a day off without getting permission. You know that? And it's the same way. We all have to submit to somebody. Because that's the test of character. And that's the thing. When Satan come along, he had all the things he did like that, but he didn't want to submit to that leadership of that kingdom of Michael. And he got kicked out and he comes down here on earth. And so it's the same thing repeating. Don't want to get off on that rabbit trail at the moment. But you understand that's what's taking place. And you take a people that should have character to handle their domain, their dominion, handle the gift they have to be able to design things better, to make something better for somebody, and then to be able to handle the impulses in them for reproduction now that it's been given to them. It wasn't at first, but now that it's been given to them, they should be able to handle all these abilities and gifts and all this sort of thing, and they're following what happens without the character to run it. What happens? They use that power, that gift, that ability to feed a flesh nature or an animal nature, and not for the kingdom of heaven, not to better others, to live for others, but to live for themselves. And that's what happens. Because all that gift of God, of life and abilities and singing and playing music and all those things, whatever gift it is, without the Holy Ghost to govern that gift, they use it for the devil. Without the Holy Ghost to govern this right here, we will use it for the devil. Right. Without the Holy Ghost to govern this, right, we will use it for the devil. And brothers, without the Holy Ghost to control this, we will use it for the devil.
That's right.
And when these things happen, we are the expression of Satan. We are expression of his kingdom when we don't have that godly character to handle that power and that authority. So what do? We should be doing things to help man. What do? We come along and we devise a new product and we make it and we go legislate in such a way and we change things up in such a way so that the laws are changed to force the entire population to come and buy my product. You know it goes on. Building vices, devising plans to bring people into bondage in that area of their life so that they have to go to one thing and get whatever their needs are met. That's Satan, what he specializes in, is devising things so that you have to get underneath his program and you just can't get free from dizziness without going to the doctor. That's Satan's program. Mm-hmm. Right? But God's program says it's different than that. And so these are attributes, a representation, an expression of Satan when he did that. So what do you get with all that? This most potential that God said, I'm going to use that for my glory. And then in a fall, that those gifts and that potential is used to sponsor and propagate Satan in his kingdom. So what you get is a super race. I'm going to say it a super race in reference to God's people being a super race, but as far as Satan's kingdom goes, in all of what he does, you get a super race of sinners, a super race of Satan expressers. Because he went right to the thing that he could get the most results with. Couldn't get it with a fish, couldn't get it with animals and birds, but he could get it with man. And even in man, there's different segments of how he does it, and among man, there's certain things he can use to get more done. So they become a specialized expression of Satan's program. Women today are a specialized expression of Satan's program in their dress and their apparel. Musicians, singers, those that are gifted, they could become specialized people under the hand of Satan to really propagate his way of things. And all of it was meant for God to be the one in control. So singers would sing for God, and when we would speak for God, and when we would look for God. And under Satan, it goes off in another direction. To feed self and to propagate his plan and to bring vices upon other people that they might serve and give you pleasure. Pay you all their money. Give you all the honor and worship that, you know, that's because that's Satan in people causing that. And that's what you get. It's a super race of sinners and that thing. But what if that same group of people, what if that same man that has so much potential, what if he's not given over to Satan's control? What if he surrenders and God takes that God looked and said, that's my image, that's what I want. God takes control of that. And all those abilities, all that ability to design things or to get things done to help people. What if God's in control of that same power? What does that become? It becomes what Brother Branham said was a super race. A God family, a God race. And that's what God had in the Garden of Eden to begin with. And that's what we're going back to is a super race, a super church of people who don't fall for these things anymore. That's what God is bringing us to. That's what He's given us. It's right in our lap right now. We have it on tape. We have it right here in this Bible. We have what it takes. And God is taking that and we are becoming that super race of people. And it will be, I believe, between here and there is a great hour of desperation. Great hour of desperation because we're not desperate. We just have moments of desperation, a little sickness in the family, a little something like that, financial, whatever, and we have just moments of desperation. But it's like Brother Tim and I were talking before service. Here's Brother Miller laying up there. Where is it? Not saying it ain't there. But see, God knows what He's doing. And we've got to reach a place where we reach the pinnacle of our desperation where this thing changes. Because we still rely too much on something other than that third pull ministry. We're still relying. We're too comfortable short of that, so we're not pushing. But a child's not brought forth until that body, until that woman or that body reaches a place where it makes a decision and it'll be better for that baby to be outside rather than inside. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you sisters, don't critique me on it because I don't know. But in my way of thinking, your body, because I remember this, because my wife, with our first child, all day long, nothing happening. All day long, nothing happening. They check her, nothing going on. In just 5 minutes, she says, it's different. My body is pushing now. She wasn't doing it. Her body was doing it. Her body knew it was time. And so that's what has to happen. Those birth pains have to come. And I'm speaking message to you because Brother Ram, he laid it out that way. Birth pains. World War I, World War II. And there's birth pains and they're getting greater and greater and greater. And this is going to be birth. Well, that's the way it is. That is the birth we're talking about. Because the earth is looking for the manifestations of sons of God. When they get back and they're liberated, so is the earth liberated. Because it's reversing what happened in the garden. And so, what do you have when you have a people that's committed to God? You have a super race. You have a people that can handle all of those things, all that authority, all that ability God's given him. They can handle that because they have character to do it. And God commits that to them and gives them that ability. And so, and with that, what's their purpose? What is yours and our purpose? Listen, saints, and I'm really closing up here. We have forgotten that there's one thing we need for sure today and every other day in our life, and that is to be anointed of the Holy Ghost. We need to realize, hey, we don't need to leave the house, our prayer room, until we have that anointing upon us. We want to go in the name of the Lord. What am I saying? To go with a present reality, electrified experience around us of who we are and what we're here for. We're not here to enjoy this and enjoy that in the world. We're here to touch lives. We are here to be what I'm fixing to read. That's what we're here for. And so, what we're here for is to do what God did back in the beginning. God cast Satan out because of what he did. And anything that's not like God, you know, God cannot fellowship with a nature different than his own. He can only fellowship with his nature. And so God, when Satan did what he did, God cast him out of the place where God is going to be, and where God was. And we find that when the bride goes up, Satan comes down. And I'll just throw this in there because it comes to mind, and I meant to mention it earlier, didn't it? Heaven consists of the Word. And you are the Word. You sit in heavenly places. You are the Word of God made flesh, just like He was the Word of God made flesh. And Satan is still allowed to come into your presence. And what does he do, like he did with Job and everybody else? He's there to accuse. He's there to accuse. And so he's allowed. But when that bride finally goes up in that complete rapture, Satan's no longer allowed to come to you like that. You will never be tempted again like that. And so therefore, that's him coming down. He's no longer allowed to be in heavenly places. He's no longer allowed to touch you. And he realizes he's losing his battle. And so, we're to be a people to touch lives. We are to be a people like our Father, and that is to displace Satan from everywhere he wants to take a stronghold. Everywhere where he wants to take a stronghold, in what's committed to you and I, we are to cast him out of that. We are to reject him. I know you're saying, well, how do we do that? You know, Brother Branham said, in greatest battle ever fought, listen to this, Satan brings diseases, and God's army is commissioned to cast them out. Amen. That's what he said. There you are. Every time, listen, saints, and this is what I want. One thing I want you to go with today, to realize, you know what? There's a desperation we need. You can't make it happen yourself, but we need to be aware of the fact that we're falling. We are short of the full benefits of God. I'll put it that way. I don't want to say falling short, but we are not enjoying the full benefits of God just yet. We have spells of it, but there's a birthing that has to take place. And so Brother Ram says, he says that there you are every time Satan throws anything on you, God's army is to cast him out every time. See? Cast out. That's the very tactic God used. Satan used an army of destruction to disbelieve God's word and set him up a better kingdom than Michael had, and God cast him out. God's method is casting out evil. Cast down reasoning, cast down superstitions, cast down worry, cast down diseases, cast down sin. Amen. He said, you're above it. You're resurrected in Christ Jesus, sitting in heavenly places with every devil under your feet. No amen. That's your lot. Right. That's what God has given you. It's a tool laying right here on the table for you. I didn't plan it to say it that way, but it came to mind. It's laying there. Your lot is to displace Satan out of any and every area of your life, your loved one's life. You are to impact this world. So don't let Satan tell you can't, because you can. He wants to make you be afraid. He wants to petrify you with fear and make you think there's no hope for you. But he's a liar. Because God has said, and we read it here, we have the ability. Sometimes in prayer, I say it, Lord, your prophet said that even the weakest Christian, when he begins to pray, gets down and prays, that Satan begins to tremble. So if you really believe that, if you really believe that, picture in your mind your enemy and him having his heyday. Picture in your mind as you get down to pray the fear that comes upon him as you begin to talk to your Maker about your victory that you want. And so Brother Bram said, we are above that. Did you catch that, what he said? He said, you're above it. You're resurrected in Christ Jesus, sitting in heavenly places with every devil under your foot. Amen. Every devil of doubt, fear, sickness, dizziness, every devil that would come to you in your life is under your feet, according to the gospel. And so the scripture said, if you resist the devil steadfast, then he will flee from you. Didn't say, you know, just kind of mumble it or whatever, but take your stand. Be steadfast to resist the enemy and watch what he does. He will flee from you. That means he wants to get away very quickly. He doesn't just walk away. He doesn't just kind of skip along. He flees. That means he's afraid. That means he's fearful whenever you resist him. Amen. So next time that we're talking or on the phone, ask yourself this question. Do I want to be an expression of God, or do I want to be an expression of Lucifer? Next time you're looking on the internet, brothers, or next time you're in a discussion with your wife that might be a disagreement, do you want to be an expression of God, or do you want to be an expression of Satan? Because in you lies the gifts to do great things for God or for the devil. In you lays that, and that's why God, you were God's choice. He made you thus, created you so. And so it does matter where you cast your vote on what you'll do with the things that God has given you. You know, man is where it fell. Everything that God, man had control of, that's where it fell. And so that's where everything's decaying. And man will never be anything except a failure in himself. He'll never be anything except a failure. And while God's talking about all the trash and all that sores thing, man has the ability to reach out and trash other things too. And so the reason why that comes to mind is because recently, do you know that man, that there is actually trash on Mars now? What I'm calling trash at the moment. There's trash on Mars now because man put it there. Because we flew our equipment up there to land a rover and do all kinds of things, and the thing that dropped that thing down on Earth flew over and crashed somewhere. So if we ever go up there and inhabit Mars, somebody's going to have to clean that up. Why is it there? Was it because God did something? No, it's because man, everything he touches, he trashes. Pretty interesting, huh? It's true. But with God, with the Holy Ghost in control of those gifts and that power, look what you can do. You can be such a blessing. Be such a blessing to those that are in need and those that are going through a battle. Amen. You believe it?
Amen.
Amen. We don't want to be expressions of Lucifer. We want to be an expression of God. Let's bow our hearts as the musicians come. Lord, we thank you for your blessings this day. We thank you for healing in their bodies, Lord. Mine and those that are sitting here, the loved ones that are represented here by those that are sitting. We thank you for being what we need, Lord. Providing us the truth, providing us the faith, providing us the healing, the guidance. All the things, Lord, that lay before us, we know it all lays within your hands, Lord. We just committed to you. Ask God that you would just continue to move us closer to yourself, Lord. Cause your Holy Spirit to find a place within us, Lord. A greater position in our home, Lord. Let us expand the rooms that we will allow you to come and make yourself at home in. We pray, God, that you would just do that. Lord, just be magnificent among your people. Lord, just cause us to go forth in positive speech. Lord, believing the word of God, laying hands on the sick. Lord, that they will be recovered. We just ask, God, that you represent yourself through us and check us anytime, Lord, that we begin to do something that is contrary, that would not be a good representation of you. Check us, Lord. Pull us back into the middle of the road in everything, Lord. Help us to just be good stewards of what you've given us. And help us, Lord, just to continue to reach out for those who are sick, who need you. Just pray for the families in the church, Lord, that are fighting these battles right now. Lord, commit to them that which you purchased for them on Calvary. Pray for Brother Miller, Lord, and his family. You know it's a great battle, a great challenge of Satan that has come upon our brother. But Lord, we join our faith and our prayer with other saints to ask and even believe and command, God, that you'll raise our brother up. It won't be what the doctors are trying to tell him, Lord. But God, you'll raise him up in that testimony of this battle and his victory over it. God, he'll take that to every place that you send him, and he'll tell it with fervency, Lord, with conviction in his heart because he's lived it. That's the kind of victory we believe that our brother can have in this day. And we just continue to implore you, God, that you would touch our brother and raise him up. Be with us as we go now. Fellowship, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can stand if you want. God bless you. Let's sing in the name of Jesus. Let me believe that. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. If you're waiting to hear the devil sing this for you, he's not going to do it. God inhabits your praises. Not just here, and that's something that I really want to encourage us to do. When we come here, not just here, but especially here, we want to worship God. We want to lift up our voices in praise and use our voice for Him. And so Satan's not going to sing it for you. He's not going to praise it for you. So you just tell him, get out of the way and let me rejoice in my Maker. Let it be found that we are giving good representation of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Demons will have to leave. When we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand.
Amen. We have tribulation in this world, but in Him we have victory. Amen. We thank God for that. Let's remember, look for rapture. Let's remember that one of these days, for Matthew, for the Josh, one of these days will be our last day on this earth. It'll be our last day to contend with the things that we contend with. But you know, we've heard it said that, well, if you're a hothead here, you'll be a hothead there, so you wouldn't be there because, you know, what we have to be here, we have to come to that now because death doesn't change us. It just changes our dwelling place. And so I want to say it a different way. I want to say it this way, that my love for Brother Gary over there, in that dimension where Brother Branham said was sublime, and nothing evil there, no evil thought or nothing, in that dimension, I love Brother Gary. Brother Gary loves me, and I love each one of you, and you love me over there.
Yeah.
Then we have to come to that here before we go there. So we need to kind of tighten up a little bit, don't we? But God provides that for us. God bless you. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Thank you for your prayers, and let's just continue to remember everyone. Amen. You're dismissed.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Thank you.